Welcome to the Cody Springer Show. This podcast is available on Anchor.fm, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music Weekly. Ever since 2018, Cody has been giving you one of the most real and uncensored podcasts on the internet. He talks about everything from pop culture to sports, entertainment, and everything in between. Here is an all-new episode of the Cody Springer Show.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Cody Springer Show, episode number 92. Hope everyone's doing good today. I have another exclusive interview for you guys. I have artist Michael Waves on the podcast, and we had a great conversation, man. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this interview, and it's just crazy to me how much I could relate to this man. And, you know, he's a very talented artist, and he's got a lot to offer. And, you know, we talked a lot about how we can be our own worst enemy at times in life. So, yeah, man, you guys better strap in and listen to a very insightful interview with Michael Waves. I have artist Michael Waves here on the podcast. How's it going, man?
What is up? Yo, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it big time.
I appreciate you coming on the show. And, yeah, I want to bring you on and have my listeners know more about you. So, yeah, let's jump right into it. My first question for you is that you're from Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And before you got into releasing music, you were actually a middle school. Take us back to that time and what your mindset was.
Yeah, I mean, interesting question, because I'm actually still a teacher at the same time. Right now, I guess the stage I'm at in my career at the moment, things have been going extremely well. The growth has been going really well. Numbers look good and the fan base is growing. Financially, especially now without shows, right now I'm at the point where the teaching still is needed, I guess, for the, you know, financial aspect of things. So hoping to make that jump here in the next year, 2 years, to be able to go full time with the music. It creates kind of I don't want to say a double life. That sounds a little bit dramatic, but it kind of does in some ways, where I kind of have like the day during the day, the teacher, and then, every other hour of the day, musician. But
Do your students know about your music?
They do. Yeah. No, I get this question a lot. I don't really hide it at all, especially as soon as you Google my name, you pretty much find out everything on the internet. But I'm super open about it. It was definitely, I've been teaching for 5 years now. So, it's definitely something initially when I first got my teaching job 5 years back that I didn't really know how it was going to go over. I didn't know if it was going to be something that was embraced, something that may get me fired or something, I had no idea. And back then I was definitely not where I'm at professionally now. So I was kind of treated a little bit differently back then, kind of like somewhat of a joke, in certain aspects. But I didn't like walk into a classroom and say, hey, stream my new song or whatever. So it's become actually a really cool thing. So a lot of uncertainty initially on how things would go over. And now it's a really cool thing because it's number one, it's a source of when the kids dive into that kind of stuff. And again, I don't walk in the room and promote it right away, but it's pretty easy to find out word of mouth. And as soon as you Google me and things like that, and other people know, I'm super open about it. And the paper has had me in a few different times for some different releases. So it's definitely public knowledge. A lot of people are aware and know of it. So it's a cool point of relation for the students. And the one thing that's been really cool and something that I actually want to explore a lot more going forward is it's a huge source of inspiration for a lot of kids in a lot of the same ways that it's a source of inspiration for some of my fans, where, I'll get messages from different fans saying hey, your music helped me get through this, or You know, when I was feeling like this, your music has helped me felt better, or, you know, you've inspired me to go after, you know, something that I'm passionate about, or a dream of mine that maybe my family or friends or society in general doesn't really support or understand, you know, you're a point of inspiration for me to just go for it. And a lot of that has happened with a lot of my students as well. Like teaching eighth grade, it's a little bit tough because they're only like 13, 14 years old. So it's not like they're like, you know, figuring out their career paths. You know, they still have plenty of time to kind of experiment with that. But there's a lot of kids, especially I teach in an urban district. So like, you know, hip hop music's popular in within the youth, especially in that type of area. So it's a cool thing because a lot of kids, you always hear in like certain songs, like at least I have, you know, in like certain songs where rappers would be like, my teacher told me I wouldn't be shit. I'm like the polar opposite of that type of example, where I'm like, hey, I don't care if you want to be an astronaut, a rapper, a doctor, or a mechanic or whatever. If that's something you're passionate about and you want to go after that, there's nothing stopping you. Go for it. So it's been really cool over the years having students that are affected positively in that way, where they can have more self-belief and they can go after something that might seem unorthodox, or, you know, their family doesn't understand, but, you know, I'm a source of like, hey, he's doing it and he's going after it. That means I can too. So.
Oh yeah. And I think, especially with, you know, younger people, you know, they kind of just, you know, they hold back and they, yeah, you know, they have that fear of jumping into something because they're afraid of being judged, or, mm-hmm. you know, their family and friends are not going to support them. You know, mm-hmm. I just tell everybody, if you want to do something, just do it. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're never going to do it if you don't put in the work to do it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you get what you put in, and, you know, it's like, I use this metaphor a lot of times with a lot of different people. It's like, you go to the gym. If you go to the gym and you just go through the motions, you're not going to see many results. You go to the gym and you go hard, you're going to see results. And it's the same with anything in life that you're going to try to go after. Like I said, whether it's music, or maybe you want to be a lawyer, or maybe you want to be whatever, you put work in, especially like, you know, in music. I talk about this a lot with like artist buddies of mine and stuff like that. Today's music industry, especially independent music, is very synonymous with entrepreneurship, and kind of really like, I view myself, I'm a startup business. You know, I have to develop revenue streams. I have to, you know, try to reduce overhead and try to figure things out financially, you know, whether you're touring or it's streaming or merchandise or, you know, royalties, whatever. You got to have your ducks in a row and your stuff in order. And it takes time. And I think a lot of people, number one, there's a lot of people that are just lazy, and there's a lot of people that also don't really know what to do or where to start. And there's also a lot of people, probably more so than not the majority, that don't believe they can do it. And I just had an excuse me, an interview the other day that I was doing. And I was talking about imposter syndrome, and me and my fiance talk about that a lot, where, you know, it's something you want to do, but for some reason, whether it's society or, you know, friends, family, whatever, self-doubt, mixture of all that, you kind of believe, oh, well, I can't do that because that's, you know, this person's successful at that, but I'm not that person. So I won't be able to make that happen. And it's a very weird thing. And I think that's very representative of like that block that you were just talking about, where people just for some reason think that, oh, well, I can't do this. And there's really no reason not to. And you know, when you're like an entrepreneur or start a business, whether you're music or starting a coffee shop or whatever, it takes so much time. And it's a lot, it's really tough, I think, for a lot of people to accept the fact that, hey, like this may take 8-10 years before you're, you know, consistently profitable and you can live full time off of it and things like that. It just takes, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of time.
I just hard work, dedication, and just improving over time, you know, because hell, people who start something, they're not going to be good at it right away, you know, like it's going to take time to really get good at it, you know, and mm-hmm. everybody improves with time, you know. So I want to switch gears here, and I want to ask you, how'd you come up with the name of Michael Waves?
Yeah. So my middle name is Michael. So I got Michael from that. And super just random, I guess. When I was changing my artist's name, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was now, a good chunk of time ago, I used to go by my initials, JMB. But that was just so, number one, it was just like a douchey name, and it wasn't very Google friendly. And the music I made back then, you know, was like immature and college music. And I wanted to change my name to just, you know, really like fully rebrand and head in a more mature direction. So Michael, I chose my middle name. And then I remember I was literally just on Google searching random words. And I was like, I somehow, I think, stumbled upon or thought of Waves. And I was like, Michael Waves. Oh, that actually sounds kind of dope. And I was like, I'll add a second V in there to make it unique. Unknowingly to me, I get dogged by people, like anonymous people on the internet. They'll be like, oh, microwave. And I'm like, damn, I didn't even think that. It kind of sounds like microwave. But yeah, so something I didn't really realize at first. I actually made it into a merch t-shirt. So it's kind of like, hey, joke's on you. You want to make fun of me? I'll fucking make money off it. But yeah, so that's kind of how it came about. Just kind of randomly, I set out to change my name, use my middle name. And then I just thought Michael Waves. I was like, that sounds kind of tight. And I just went with it.
I think it's a catchy name, to be honest.
Thanks. No, I'm glad, because that's sometimes when I get made fun of for it. Oh, microwave. I'm like, damn it. But I'm glad that it's kind of like a stick in your head kind of name.
Yeah, because I just like the way I pictured it is like, oh, like waves, like sound waves, you know?
Yeah. A lot of different directions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I pictured when I, you know, first read your name. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I kind of get made fun of for my last name, Springer, because, you know, Jerry Springer.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I that's something I've had to kind of like deal with throughout my whole life, practically. Like, oh, like Jerry Springer, you related? I'm like, no. You really think I would be living in this small ass town if I was related to Jerry Springer?
you should make up this like long intricate story about you being like his illegitimate son or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'd probably give me a lot of publicity.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you released your a project in 2018. It was an EP titled Nights on Vine. And it seemed to me like you were trying to find yourself as a person on that EP. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. First off, I appreciate you listening. I think so. You know, I have made music for like 8-9 years for a new, and just like you mentioned earlier, it takes time to get better. For a number of those years, I was just fucking trash. Like the songwriting wasn't great. The singing was terrible. The rapping was not good either. So it took time to hone in on different things, but I think that EP Nights on Vine was one of the first times where I felt kind of comfortably kind of settling into my own a little bit. And I've definitely experimented with a lot of different styles, especially over the past year, been kind of dabbling in EDM and trap and just trying to stay versatile. But back then in Nights on Vine 2018, I say back then, like it was super long ago. It really wasn't that long ago, but when I put that EP together, I was living actually with two of my good friends. And we were living, so I live in Lititz now, which is like 30 minutes from Lebanon, where I grew up. And I used to live in a city called Lancaster, which is like a 15-minute bigger city from where I'm at currently. And I used to live in downtown Lancaster with two of my good friends. And we lived there for like 2 years. We rented this big house and we had a hell of a time and a lot of fun down there. And we lived on a street called Vine Street. And I think the interesting thing about that EP is, you know, like when I lived there, it was like we were partying all the time and, you know, going out. And that's kind of like the phase of life we were at that time. But there was, you know, definitely a dark side to it, you know, at night and like things that I went through kind of, you know, being away from home or, you know, issues in relationships or, you know, whatever that, you know, everybody always, our friends always look back, oh, the Vine Street days. And it's like, hey, like some of the Vine Street days were super fun, but some days they were not so great. And I think that's kind of like the message or like vibe I got through on that EP, because it was kind of slower. It was more dark. I talk about a lot of vulnerable issues, you know, my people in my family passing away and different things that I went through at that time that I may not have publicly talked about with my friends or, you know, whatever, or maybe have been kind of masked over by the party lifestyle that I was living at that time. So I think that's one of the first times I would say unapologetically open and about, you know, about a lot of touchy issues that were vulnerable things to talk about. But I'm so glad I did, because I still get messages to this day about that EP that people listen to and, you know, because they can connect to a lot of the topics I touch on. So definitely one of the first times I think I was becoming comfortable with myself as an artist.
Yeah, like, I mean, my favorite song from that EP was Far From Home.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
That was a pretty good track, man. Like, I just got the sense of a lot of struggle in that song. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah, this is good material.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that big time. Yeah, that was one of the first times. It was actually the first time besides college that I had moved away from home. And I have a younger sister. I have two younger sisters, but I have my youngest sister at the time. You know, she was like in elementary school, like noticeably younger, like several years younger. Definitely felt a lot of guilt, like not being around, watching her grow up, you know, at certain times and, you know, missing out on certain things, especially like even chasing the music. Like, it's a lot of sacrifice where, you know, I'm making decisions to do this and do that, where I may be sacrificing time with family or, you know, think different things like that. So I struggled a lot with that. In the music video, I actually have my grandparents in there because they're kind of like, they play roles for me where I can kind of go over to their house and talk about stuff and they listen and, you know, just kind of unbiasedly shoot the shit about, you know, a lot of different things you may think about. But two of my grandparents had since passed since then. My grandma, she's in the video. She was actually going through cancer and you can tell she's bald in the video. But I remember taking her to her chemo treatments and, you know, I still remember some of her last weeks staying over at my grandparents, staying overnight because when she had to get up to go to the bathroom, we had to carry her to the toilet. And just really, like, there's a lot of stuff, you know, at the time, just because you're dealing with it, it may not seem like it's impacting you so much. But then you look in hindsight, and I wrote the EP kind of in hindsight of those memories. Like, that was like, you know, some of the last moments I had with my grandparents, and like, you know, having to see your grandma in a state like that, or, you know, missing out on certain things with my sister, or you know, relationship issues and things like that. So it's, you know, it's interesting because it just, I listen back now and I'm like, damn, I can kind of tap back into where I was then. Cause I think some of those songs really get those vibes and messages and events and, you know, experiences off really well.
And I can relate to you so much, man, because, you know, I've lost a loved one to cancer myself. I got a sister on my dad's side, and, you know, my parents, you know, they've been, you know, in different marriages for a long time and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a sister on my dad's side and they live in Arizona and I live here in Ohio. So yeah, I don't really get to see them a whole lot. And
yeah, it's tough, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it can be. And hell, I'm 30 years old. I just turned 30 last month and my sister.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday, bro.
Oh, thank you. And my sister turned 18 in February and I'm like, wow, you know.
Yeah, no, dude, she was just over actually earlier today. It's my sister's 13, I'm 30 as well. So it's like, and dude, it's crazy. My fiance and I talk about this as well. Like I might reference my fiance a good amount, obviously. Yeah, we have a lot of deep conversations sometimes, but I think one thing, it's crazy, like just like what we're talking about, you know, being away from your family and, you know, missing out on stuff with younger siblings, or a lot of the stuff isn't talked about super openly. And they're like, you know, especially being like a 30-year-old man, people are like, oh, well, you know, you should, you know, you can handle these issues or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of like pain a lot of people go through, these topics being great examples of those that people don't talk about. They don't. So I think, you know, like at least in music or just general conversation like this, people can listen and be like, fuck, like I'm not alone. Like other people go through this stuff, because it may be stuff people don't want to talk about out in the open, even with their closest friends, because they're self-conscious or they feel insecure or whatever. So it's just like, I'm super grateful that I have a talent with music where I can kind of get that stuff across, where people can listen to it and be like, I'm not alone in this feeling, you know?
Right. You know, I definitely think the best music is stuff that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. And it helps them through some tough times, you know, definitely.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
And then the next year you follow that up by releasing Purple Heart. Mm-hmm. Take us through that process of creating that. And how did you come up with the name of Purple Heart?
Yeah, no, great question. So coming up with the name initially, so I made a lot of those songs probably a year or so before I had put the project out. And I had basically my fiance now, back then, this was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. We had split up and her and I have been together for 10 years. So she's been around for, you know, like a long time, you know, ever since right when I first started music. And when I say first started, I mean like just writing stuff in a notebook and having no recorded material. Like she was around those days And I was still as obsessed with it back then as I am now, and dedicated and driven. But so we had broken up, and long story short, basically, our relationship was not a great spot. I had left her and then basically had been with another person for, been with another person, and then realized like, wow, this is like, I just pretty much sabotaged my relationship and things, you know, I went through a lot of self-hatred based on some decisions I made in the moment. And so I tried to mend things with her, which, you know, did not like it like automatically happen. It was a work in progress, but I went through a lot of, became a lot more mature, became a lot more self-reflective. And also at the same time felt like shit, like just had a lot of self-hatred and things like that. And I think a lot of those feelings come across on that project because it's also very slow. I consider it an R&B project, a lot of melody. I think a lot of pain-filled melody, a lot of uncomfortably open things I say, and a lot of topics that are dark, and, you know, instrumentals that are slow and ambient and, you know, kind of like dreary. And I made a lot of those songs a little bit after I went through that. And I had a whole bunch of music kind of in the vault, but I had like these like 4 or 5 songs. I was like, these all kind of sound sonically the same, you know, pretty similar. So I grouped them together and I was like, all right, well, I wanted these to be on one project and put it out as an EP. And for some reason I noticed that I used the Purple Heart emoji a lot in my text messages. And I was like, oh, that sounds like kind of a cool name for a project, Purple Heart. How can I intertwine that into, you know, this project? And a lot of the songs mention like nautical themes. That was just kind of a natural thing I just randomly noticed. I was like, all right, I want to tie this together as like a nautical story. And one of the actually interludes on the project is called Sailing with Sirens. And you can hear in the background, there's like this like high-pitched singing voice. And I'm not sure if a lot of people are familiar, but sirens, not like fire truck sirens, but sirens are actually like these mermaids. And I think, I don't know, they're like mythical characters, but like there's these mermaids that sing songs to sailors in hope, like they try to like, what's the word? They kind of like try to persuade them to sail their ships in a direction towards the rock. So they crash their ships. And I related that a lot to like temptation, where it's like, you know, somebody or some, you know, whatever treats you in a certain way or says certain things to you to try to get you to make a bad decision. And I related a lot to that during that time in my life. So I kind of tied this whole nautical ship, you know, I'm the captain of a ship and I've been, you know, kind of, you know, infatuated by temptation and sabotaged my whole situation or crashed my ship metaphorically. And I was like, man, how can I still incorporate Purple Heart? And I was like, oh, I can call the ship the Purple Heart. And if you look on the cover of the EP, it says on like the side of the crashed ship, Purple Heart. So that's kind of like how it all actually came together. It was very like random, but it ended up being very cohesive at the end.
I think it's very creative.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. And you mentioned temptation. You know, temptation's all around us, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, with, you know, just, you know, vices like alcohol, drugs, and
100%.
Yeah, and then, you know, temptations with, you know, women and stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's definitely all around us.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, I have a song coming out in 2 weeks called Deeper. It's very actually sonically similar to like the Purple Heart stuff. But it's the music video we filmed that's going to come out with the song centers a lot around vices.
Nice, nice. We'll definitely have to look forward to that for sure. And then you have a song on Purple Heart called Underwater. Do you feel like you were sinking as a person?
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of a reoccurring theme for me some reason, like whether I'm in a self-hatred place or, you know, and it's not like, I don't want to say I'm like consistently depressed, but I think just being a human being, part of being a human being is sometimes you just feel like shit. I think it's completely normal. People go through your ups and downs. Like some days I'm in like a shit mood for no reason. Everything in my life could be going great. Music could be going great. You know, there's no financial issues there. Everybody's safe and healthy. There's really no issues or, you know, reasons to be upset, but some days you just feel like shit. And I think that's a normal human feeling. And for me, like, you know, whether it's, if there's relationship issues, you kind of feel like you're sinking and you're out of control and, you know, you're only diving into a deeper spot, or, maybe you're stressed or experience anxiety. I think that like the whole, for some reason, I don't know why, for me, like that act of sinking where you're out of control, you can't really grip anything, and it's only getting worse as you continue to think about it, that you know, feeling underwater, and you just feel like, and you can almost watch it too. I almost like, when I think about it, I like envision like a ship sinking, like, and again, you know, back to that concept, like you're sitting there watching the ship sink as the water, you know, comes up to your feet, the water comes up to your waist, your chest, like you're aware of how shitty things are going, and you're only making it worse for yourself, overthinking and stressing. And then eventually it goes over your head and you almost feel like you're out of control. So I definitely felt like that. I still feel like that song Deeper that's coming out in 2 weeks. I talked about a lot of those feelings mentioned on there as well. So it's, you know, sometimes you dip back into that negative space, and that feeling of underwater is definitely a reoccurring kind of theme for me mentally sometimes.
Oh yeah, man. Like I can relate to that, you know, cause I mean, you know, I definitely try to keep a positive mindset, you know, daily, and you know, cause the more positive energy you have, more positive is going to happen, you know, but every now and then I have these days where I'm just like, fuck everything.
Dude, straight up, bro. And it's like, I still do gratitude journals in the morning and meditations and things like that, and breathing exercises, and try to just focus on mindfulness and like, you know, mindful well-being and your mental health. But sometimes you could do all that shit and you're still like, yo, fuck everything. Like, it's just, you just feel like shit. Yeah.
Just that mindset you get into, and you're just like, oh, you know.
Yep, exactly, dude. I can relate like crazy.
Oh man. Next question I want to ask you, and you know, I'm a football fan, so I gotta ask. You got a song, Patrick Mahomes. Are you a fan of him?
I guess so. I mean, the song kind of came about a little like randomly. So I dipped into the EDM stuff of recent, which is super fun to kind of explore and experiment with. And one of my good buddies, Level 8, who produced it, I can't remember where he's from. I think like Spain or something, or Germany, but he sent me the beat. And for some reason, I just like, it was right around the time that Patrick Mahomes signed that massive contract with the Chiefs. And, you know, the beat is definitely like a braggadocious vibe. So I was like, you know, like get money and, you know, whatever. So Patrick Mahomes randomly came to my mind. So I'm actually a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I've been my whole life. But right around that time I was writing that song is when Patrick Mahomes signed that massive contract. So I was like, that's kind of where it, you know, was inspired by.
All right. Yeah. Cause man, like, I mean, when that was announced that Mahomes got that $500 million deal or however much it was, I was like, what?
Yeah. It's hard. Dude, it's hard to fathom that amount of money. It's fucking wild.
It is wild, man. And you mentioned you're a Steelers fan. Well, I think you and I would be rivals then, because I'm a Ravens fan.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully you're a Browns fan. And I still fuck with the Browns. I mean, they sucked for so long. But like with I just like Baker Mayfield's chip on his shoulder, man. So I if the Browns are on, as long as they're not playing Pittsburgh, I'll root for him. But I will say not the Ravens. I do not like the Ravens.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, when it comes to football, yeah, I'm going to say fuck the Steelers all day long, but
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I get it. But, no hard feelings. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that thing with football rivalries, man, you know, I mean, hell, like, cause I mean, with, certain other teams, you know, like, you know, the Patriots and, the Jets, you know, that's a rivalry there too. And then the Ravens and the Steelers, it's just like one of those hard-nosed knockout, drag-out battles that, you know, we have year after year, man.
Those are the best, though, man. And that's like one of the main reasons I'm a Steelers fan. I mean, my dad is a Steelers fan, so I always grew up a Steelers fan. But I love – even like I respect Baltimore for it, dude. There's something about like just like a smash mouth, hard nose, especially like a defensive – battle, you know, running, you know, the running game is strong, and like a lot of the Pittsburgh and Baltimore have been pretty similar. I mean, now it's a little bit different because you guys have much more mobile quarterback than Ben's just like a fucking statue that can't fall over, but I love, and I can relate to like that feeling, you know, chip on your shoulder, hard nose, like you're out there with something to prove. And I think that's like, that's Baltimore and Pittsburgh football.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I mean, there's, my opinion, there's no other rivalry in football that's like it, really.
No way. Definitely not.
And, you know, I mean, even though I hate the Steelers. You know, I do respect them. You know, the franchise has great history. And
likewise.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah. And then, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, he's definitely. See, that's the thing. Like, people around here, you know, they, you know, cherish Big Ben because, I mean, because I'm from Van Wert, Ohio, which is a small town. And I guess Ben Roethlisberger did go to school here at one point in time.
Yeah, he went to Miami of Ohio, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's from Findlay, which is like about an hour away from here.
Oh, but, well, I didn't realize he was from Ohio, shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, so people kind of, you know, think Ben Roethlisberger is like the pride of Ohio for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's more so this area, Northwest Ohio, than anything else, because we don't really have a lot of guys who made it to the NFL from this area, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's talk about your own podcast, Waves Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us what that podcast is about?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like came about once quarantine hit because obviously I couldn't play any shows and, you know, and do that kind of stuff. Like the live show world shut down. So I was like, well, I have extra time. And I was like, what's another way, another thing I can do during this time to kind of get more content out there, you know, maybe expose fans or, you know, new fans to another side of myself in another way. And also just connect with people. And that's kind of how initially I called it Waves Wednesdays. And I did them every Wednesday. And it was just kind of, it was a lot, like, believe it or not, like organizing a guest. And obviously you can relate having your own podcast. Like it's a lot more than people think, like, you know, making sure you have the equipment, making sure you know how everything works, making sure, you know, things render correctly and blah, 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 blah. And making sure you have the guests lined up and the times and all that kind of stuff. And I would do it, like I said, on Wednesdays. And then sometimes I'm like, damn, like I wanted to go to dinner tonight, but I can't because I have fucking Waves Wednesday tonight. And I'm like, shit. So I stopped doing it for a little bit. And I'm still kind of on a hiatus now, like could just kind of do them sporadically. I stopped for a bit and kind of relaunched it as like a full, like not just on Wednesdays, like Waves Radio. So I could kind of have also the scheduling freedom of not having the word Wednesday in the name. And I also thought it sounded pretty cool. But it's a really cool thing. Like, and I got all the equipment to kind of record here at my like home studio for that kind of stuff. And it's been a really, really cool way for me to connect with other artists and other people that are just, I love, and I'm sure you can relate to this as well. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. Like when you like talk with a like-minded person, it's like an addicting thing, especially if you're surrounded by some of your friends that may be more negative or may not understand what you're doing. When you find somebody that relates to things that you're passionate about, I could talk to somebody like that all day. And for me, there's definitely like, you know, I'm kind of like on an island, so to speak, I think, you know, with what I'm doing and what I'm going after. So sometimes I feel a little bit, you know, kind of isolated, and the internet and the time that was given during quarantine was a great opportunity for me to reach out to other artists I respect or other artists maybe that we talked a few times in the DMs or in comments, but we never actually connected in a conversation. And I can help build relationships with those guys that I respect what they're doing and what they're building and just kind of pick their brain about stuff and just talk about stuff that fans may be interested in and things like that. So it's been a really cool vehicle to do that. And then once I got the equipment here at my home studio, another thing, before Corona hit, I used to record at my buddy's house. We basically like had made music through the past 8 years since when I started. His name's Eric. Him and I had been recording together ever since day one. And basically at the same time, when quarantine hit, his wife got pregnant. So like, you know, they were very on the safe side, which completely justified, like to, you know, kind of stay isolated to make sure her health was okay for, you know, the baby and stuff. So basically we couldn't record. So I was like, shit, I have no idea how to record myself. I got to figure this shit out. So I like watched a bunch of YouTube videos. I bought some equipment. So I record myself. I still don't quite fully engineer because I don't know, you know, I don't know a lot of the plugins that I need and different things like that, and still learning a lot of that. But I record myself and I basically send it out to like a remote engineer as of right now. And that has been like, so once I had the equipment, it enabled me to have like in studio interviews. And one of the cool things too, I think I have one or two, I think maybe just one, I'd have to look back, but episodes with my fiance, I'm like, hey, we're not doing shit tonight. You want to go record a podcast and just talk about random shit, you know? So it's been really cool because I've gotten actually the most played episode, I think, was the one with my fiance. I'm like, man, I never would have thought, you know, if I have other notable artists on that, you know, they would have more traction, those episodes and stuff like that. But it's been a really cool thing to develop, connecting with other artists and just like presenting a different, you know, side of, you know, you can hear about my life and different things fans can and tap in, as opposed to just hearing me on a song. They can, you know, listen to a podcast, and it's super cool to just have conversations, you know, like it's so rare in today's day and age with smartphones and social media and the internet for people to just sit down and talk. And it's a really cool thing, like that podcasts, you know, kind of foster that.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to like make your podcast a bigger deal, then you have to put more into it than what you realize. You know, I'm starting to realize that myself, because, you know, I got listener support on the host that I use my podcast through and whatnot. And then, you know, I'm trying to get sponsors. So So I'm, you know, experiencing that grind that you're talking about, you know, with, you know, having the right equipment and, you know, and making sure that everything comes off, you know, good, you know, because you definitely want your podcast to sound good, so that way people keep coming back to listen. You know?
But, yeah, totally. I mean, you talk about like sponsors and stuff. That's definitely something as it kind of continues to, you know, build for me, definitely get into. Right now, you know, music is just takes up so much time and is obviously the main focus. But that's all, you know, it's another like staying diverse and, you know, also being an entrepreneur and a startup, you know, you want to stay diverse, and podcasts are a great tool to connect with people and a great tool to expand in another way. Like for me, that's just different than music.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, earlier on this week, I had a singer-songwriter. She kind of does like acoustic stuff, and, you know, we had a good conversation. And then I've had several other rappers on my podcast, and, you know, it's just interesting to get different perspectives from people, you know, and talk about their own platform and what they're doing and how, you know, their life story plays out, you know?
Definitely. Definitely.
And then we'll switch gears here. You know, we covered, you know, earlier that, you know, you showcase quite a bit of versatility in your music, using hip hop and electronica, but you're also classified as a crooner. Can you tell people what a crooner is for those who are not familiar?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I really know what it is either. I think it's just somebody that I don't even know what like the Google definition of the word would be, just like somebody that puts melody, you know, emotional melody in things. And that's something I always loved, and maybe that's off base for what the actual definition of it is. But like, you know, melody is something I've always loved, especially as my music has developed over time, like realizing I can kind of sing and, you know, different things like that. And melody, sometimes I think there's certain feelings and emotions that you can't really express rapping. You can express it more clearly and where it hits people deeper through melody. The Purple Heart Project and even elements of Nights on Vine and elements of the new song Deeper that's going to come out. And I have certain songs, Runaway and things that are even EDM leaning, but they have more melody, where I'm kind of like, I guess you can be classify me as a crooner, so to speak, in that where you're just inserting melody and talking about emotional melody. And I think that's something a lot of people, you know, when they hear, even if you're not saying anything crazy lyrically, you can feel it because the melody is able to kind of capture that feeling and emotion.
Yeah, cause I mean, to me, like, you got all kinds of stuff going on in your music. And I think, I think that definitely makes you unique in that aspect, cause you're not just set on one style. You know, you got, you know, the rap and the bit of the electronica, and then, you know, the melodic stuff. You know, I definitely think that's gonna make you stand out over different artists for sure.
Yeah, thank you, bro. And that's so reassuring for me to even personally hear, like, being an artist, like, I'm a chronic overthinker, And there's a lot of times I've sat actually where I'm sitting right now in my studio room, and like, I've like thought to myself, well, you know, this song that I'm writing, or, you know, this beat that I was just sent by this producer, I think it's really cool, but it doesn't quite fit, you know, what other stuff I've done. And a lot of times, like, even though I'd overthink for a long time, and I still overthink, like I'll revisit even the song Patrick Mahomes when I made it. And even still, like, there's some, I'm just like, ah, I don't know if I, it was actually the first song that I recorded myself. So there's definitely some like vocal quality issues on my end, but I'm like, it's a cool representation of like, that was the first song I recorded myself. And I'm fucking proud of that. Even though if there's some errors or quality issues or some people might not like it, fuck it. Like, that's, it represents a stage for me. It's another page in the chapter. You know, for me, I overthink all the time, like I said, where if I'll like explore or write a song, or, you know, write to a beat or whatever, where I'm like, oh, it doesn't quite match stuff I've done before. But I think that's really like, that's just me being insecure. And I know I'm being a fool when I overthink about that stuff, because a lot of music is subjective. People like so much different shit, whether it's, you know, like you can put me on shuffle on Spotify and it's like, you'll hear a song you want to fucking lift weights to. You'll hear a song you want to cry to. You'll hear a song you want to fucking party and get fucked up to. You'll hear a song you want to be at a rave to. You'll hear a song that hits you deep and you can relate to like crazy. And I think the fact it's like, I compare myself to being like an athlete. Like, if you're a basketball player, the best basketball players can shoot well, can pass well, can handle the ball, can rebound, can play good defense, you know, are a leader. So it's like, you as an athlete, you have numerous skills and you're well-rounded, and those are the best, you know, athletes. As a musician, I'm well-rounded. Like, I can add melody. I can sing. You know, I have certain songs that have, you know, drops on them that go crazy at live shows. I'm kind of like a buffet style of different types of stuff. And I think it's really hard for you to find, I doubt you'll find a music listener that only listens to one style. Like, even for me, like, sometimes I like listening to Drake. Well, sometimes I like listening to Greta Van Fleet. Sometimes I like listening to The Weeknd. Sometimes I like listening to, you know, who the fuck ever else. Like, it's just like a random sample platter of stuff. And I think the music listener, like I said, is so subjective and it depends the mood you're in. And that's how I write my stuff. Like, if I'm in a sad place, I'll write songs like that you find on Purple Heart. If I'm in a chip on your shoulder, like aggressive style, I'll write a Patrick Mahomes. I'll write an All Black. You know, I'll write a DIY, which are all other songs of mine that are more trap. If I'm feeling happy, I'll write a more pop song. If I'm, you know, whatever. So it all depends what mood I'm in. And I think it's just an authentic representation of who I am. And I think people connect with that.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about your style, like, even though, let's just say you get a beat that, you know, may not, you think meshes, I still think you could adapt your style to fit it, you know, whether it's hip hop or maybe you just want to, you know, do some melody stuff, you know. I think that's, you could adapt to pretty much anything with your style of music.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a DM from one of my like hardcore fans the other week, and he's like, yo man, you can rap over anything. And it was like a nice confidence booster to read, because I'm like, fuck yeah, I can rap over everything. That's tight that you noticed that. And, you know, it's, I think it's always me on every song. And I'm not kind of like, even when I'm being braggadocious, I'm not talking about like, you know, fucking having a shitload of money or having all the stereotypical things that, you know, most people think, you know, rappers surface oriented rap about. Even when I'm being braggadocious, I don't feel authentic saying shit like that. Even if it is like mainstream kind of popular content, I don't feel authentic being, you know, talking about that kind of stuff. And even no matter the style or sonic direction I go with on a song or a project, it's always me. And I think that's, you know, when you say like, you know, it's still, you know, you can do whatever you want, because when fans listen or when new listeners listen, even if they listen to different styles of shit, they can listen to 10 of my songs in a row and all of them can be different styles and different vibes. It's still me. It's still my voice. It's still me talking about my life and my emotions. And I think that's what connects it all together.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
You released a video for your new song, What She Told Me. To me, it kind of looked like a display of what a toxic relationship looks like. Can you take us behind the story of that song?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, I hope my buddy's fiance doesn't listen to this because she'll be pissed. So that's exactly, that's like the elements, they're very dramatized, but I basically had a friend that was going through some shit. I'm trying to be really touchy with how I walk around, but basically he was going through some shit where some stuff in his past was kicked back up, and I felt for him. Like, you know, he was calling me on the phone and talking to me about some of the issues that was happening, and I felt bad for him. And that was kind of how the song kind of came about, where I think a lot of people in relationships, because their relationship is not toxic by any means, it was just like a snapshot of a situation that I talked about. But I think a lot of people that are in toxic relationships, or, you know, may have elements of it, I think anybody's relationship has some elements of toxicity that come up every now and then, because people aren't perfect and relationships aren't perfect. They take a lot of work over time. And I think like there's a lot of people, it was so funny because I put that song and that video out, and that's exactly what I wanted to represent. So that makes me happy that you noticed that, like, the toxicity. And like, I think I got like some messages from, like, I think my cousin shot me a text, and like some fans sent me some stuff. And it was funny because it was primarily dudes, because obviously in the video, you know, the girl yelling at me is actually my videographer's sister. And she killed it. She did a great job, just kind of like, and she's not like an actress or anything, but she like really got in it, and it was like, you know, hitting me and pulling my hair and screaming. Like, it was so funny because if you would have like lived next door to the house we shot it in, you would have thought somebody was getting like abused or something. Cause it was very charged up, but she killed it. And that's exactly kind of like the message I wanted to get across. And there was a lot of people that hit me up, and, you know, especially like dudes were like, yo man, I can relate like crazy, where it's like, you know, somehow you end up being the asshole and you don't really know how or why, or you didn't intend it to be that way. But I think a lot of relationships go through shit like that. So that's kind of the story behind it, to not dive super crazy deep into it, to get myself in trouble. But I mean, that's kind of exactly what you said, is exactly kind of the backstory, you know, representing that toxicity that can happen in some people's relationships, whether it's long-term toxicity and they shouldn't be in a relationship, or whether it's kind of like a snapshot of a moment where, you know, shit is not good and, you know, there is a little bit of toxicity.
Oh man, like, yeah, I've definitely been through it, and, you know, friends I know I'm even going through it right now, you know. I'm not gonna speak on it, but, you know, but yeah, like, I know a couple friends that are, you know, in that situation right now. So I mean,
and it's so hard to fall into that stuff, like, not to fault anybody for it. Like, everybody's insecure in some ways. Everybody, you know, has issues with certain things based on past relationships or baggage or your upbringing or whatever. So it's so easy to fall into, like, you know, maybe becoming overly emotional, not really realizing how you're acting, or maybe understanding your actions might not be the healthiest, or, you know, whatever. So it's, yeah, dude, it's a lot of people go through it, man. A lot of people are in the trenches.
Definitely, definitely. So as we mentioned earlier, you have a new song coming out soon called Deeper. Yes. You kind of said it kind of dives into talking about vices and stuff like that. Are you releasing a music video for the song?
I am, yeah. So I've been doing this kind of thing where I don't put like a full, like, high budget music video together, to be quite frank, because I don't have the budget to be spending mad money so frequently, because I put out a new release or two every month, basically. So if I was doing like big budget videos every month, I would be fucking dead broke. But so I've been doing these kind of, like, I call them visualizers. Basically, they're like more simplified music videos. But yeah, there'll be a video coming out for this song that we just filmed last week. Already looks amazing. Shout out to Scott Church. He's a guy that owns a studio actually in my hometown. Like a photo video studio, and it was a super cool environment to shoot in. I mean, the song is like I said, I dive into some vices and I talk a lot about insecurity and that emotion, like I said earlier, of like self-hatred sometimes. And the whole chorus of the song goes, the more that I think, the deeper and deeper I sink. And again, it goes back to that underwater kind of like concept. Sometimes you feel like shit. Sometimes, like, I know I'm thinking irrationally negative about certain things, or, you know, I have a lot of self-hatred based on some decisions in the past, or I overthink a lot of stuff and maybe things I shouldn't be beating myself up about, I am because I can't stop thinking about it, or certain things like that. And I touch on a lot of the stuff with a lot of things we actually mentioned earlier where, you know, like being away from family, the first two lines of the first verse, I say, "You got to love me from a distance because I'm not around. I've been out here on the road trying to grip the crown." And it's like, you know, I'm trying to make myself proud. I'm trying to create something that my future children someday can look at me and be proud of me for what I'm building, and something that, you know, financially can help them. And also, more importantly, like, show them they can fucking do anything they want. You know, I don't care how outlandish your idea of what you're passionate about and what makes you happy. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, what society, your friends, your family. I want to be a source of, like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I think it's a super powerful thing, but also there's a lot of sacrifice involved in that. Where, like I said, you know, you got to love me from a distance because I'm not around. Like, that line, I think particularly was spawned from, I had a show in Buffalo, New York. And it was the same weekend that my fiance's mom, it was her 60th birthday. And I had to, like, fucking miss the birthday because I was playing, you know, and I'm playing a show for, like, you know, 50, 70 people in Buffalo. It's a small show because I'm building my touring markets and things like that. So it's like, some people be like, is it even worth it to go? You know, it's like people would attack you so easily about those decisions, but I understand the value of what I'm doing. And those are those moments where you got to trust yourself, even when other people might be, you know, talking shit or not get it. And I think that song, you know, the song Deeper is such, like, it's my favorite song I've ever made, to be frank, like, just because it captures so many different, negative emotions that I think a lot of people go through, and they might not even be able to kind of put it into words or sort through it. But I think if you listen to the song, people can be like, fucking A, like, I have gone through that. And that's like, that basically communicates in words what I was feeling. And I think that's what music is. Like, you create stuff that people go through, but they don't really know what it is or how to verbalize it. And in music, when you get hit with some lyrics, like, that shit cuts deep because maybe you didn't know how to verbalize it before, but you're like, fucking A, I've been through that shit.
Oh yeah. And that's another thing too. Like, I think in a lot of ways we are our own worst enemy. You know,
I couldn't relate to that anymore. But I'm my own fucking, I'm my biggest cheerleader some days, and then my own worst enemy others.
Right. I mean, it all starts with us, ourselves. You know, we got to, how can I put this? Our decisions dictate how we feel, you know?
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. And your mindset's everything. Like, I've watched a lot of, I don't know if you're into different, like, I don't want to say motivational guys, cause that sounds so, like, cliche, but just like self-betterment dudes. Like, there's like, I'm reading the book Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. Me and my fiance watch a lot of Ed Milet. He's kind of like a successful entrepreneur that talks about, like, self-betterment and has guests on and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of those types of things where that's exactly what they talk about, you know, like, your decisions, you know, dictate how you feel and things like that. And feeling comfortable and secure with yourself, sometimes it's really hard to feel that way. But I think, you know, as a human being, you owe yourself and the people around you the time to, like, maybe some people might see it as selfish, but I fully am in support of anybody that makes decisions to get themselves into a better place where they value themselves first sometimes. Because if you don't value yourself first, you're going to be a really shitty example of yourself to give to other people. So I think a lot of times making that decision to put yourself first, to better yourself, your mindset and things like that, you know, it gets yourself to kind of you 2.0. And that's the best version of you to kind of exist for yourself and to, you know, to other people around you that may rely on you or may, you know, just be friends with you or something like that.
Right. Cause in life you do have to put yourself first.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, as selfish as that does sound at times, yeah, you do have to put yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate that some people, you know, they would see that as selfish where it's like, oh, you put yourself first. Like, yeah, fuck you, dude. Like, yeah, it's like that's healthy, because if you don't put yourself first, what version of you are you really giving to other people, you know, that may rely on you or may need something or just are around you or a family or whatever, you got to make sure you're good, because like you even think of it like a relationship. If you're somebody that goes into a relationship and you're not in good shape within yourself, it's going to affect your relationship, or if your family, it's going to affect your family, or it's going to affect friendships. Like you got to be the best version of yourself. And I see no selfishness in like putting yourself first. And it's not like every time, you know, sometimes when it's needed, you got to put yourself first to be able to, you know, to be able to get yourself to a spot where you're good, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I get in this bad habit of trying to help people who don't want to help themselves for some reason.
Welcome to the club.
And then I just end up resenting them even more afterwards. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you, you know?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And in those situations, like animosity pops up so easily. It's like animosity can occur so quickly, and that can cloud so many like good situations where you say like, you know, you're trying to help somebody and they may not be doing things to help themselves. It's so quick for animosity to creep in. It's like, yeah, well, fuck you. Or you're like making bad decisions for yourself, you know, and things like that, where it can be like just a negative cycle. But yeah, it's putting yourself first and making the choice to say, hey, I'm going to do something for me because I know it's going to put me in a better spot. I see, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think anybody in their right mind that's successful and happy with themselves would agree with that.
Right. I got one final question for you, and then I'll let you get on with the rest of your day. Do you have any plans to drop an album in the future, or do you want to commit to just releasing singles for right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was just talking about this the other day too. For me right now, you know, I manage myself. I don't have a manager. I don't really think I need a manager at this point. I'm very influenced by the business side of things, just as much as I am the creative side of things. When I roll things out and when I'm creating music, I still always have the business, you know, roll out, gaining fans, you know, just the managerial side of my mind is always active, even when I'm creating. And for me right now, like I have a fan base and I'm grateful for every single person that my music impacts and every stream and every listener and every message and everything like that. However, I just don't feel right now that my fan base is big enough to consume an album. Because I think in today's day and age, whether you want to call it the Snapchat generation or the TikTok generation or whatever, the attention spans are crazy short, dude. And it's like, you know, when, you know, you and I are 30, when we were growing up, like people consumed albums, people waited for an artist to kind of go away for 2 years and create a body of work and listen through it and, you know, go to the record store or buy a CD or buy a cassette. You know, I don't necessarily remember me specifically buying a cassette, but I always saw them in the house. And today, you know, with music being so openly, you know, accessible, you know, on streaming and shit like that, just the internet, people's attention spans are crazy short. And, you know, especially music is so oversaturated because anybody with a MacBook and a microphone and a room can make a fucking album like, or make music. I think, you know, waiting till your fan base, at least for me, like this is what I feel, at least, you know, waiting till my fan base is big enough and at a point where we can consume an album, where people can sit down through, you know, 10 plus songs and have an experience. And I can go on tour and really like get that feeling across in the live show. And just fully develop that. You know, I think, cause right now, you know, my main goal is building my fan base. Always, every move I make is all about building my fan base, you know, developing revenue streams and building my fan base. That those are the main goals right now, and impacting people through, you know, building that fan base. And, singles is honestly right now the best way to do that. Putting together an album, definitely at some point in my life, you know, hopefully in the near future, I will have a debut album. And that'll be a beautiful day, but you know, I want to wait till my fan base is at a big enough point where, a lot of people will consume the album and it won't kind of be like, you know, wasted album cuts that no people or very little people listen to. I want my fan base to be big enough to want to consume an album and to get to the point where, you know, things are big enough where we can hit the Billboard charts when we drop an album, and we can hit, you know, we can climb into the top 10 on the iTunes charts when stuff drops, and, you know, we can break a million streams and, you know, in a couple months, or, you know, whatever the numerical benchmarks are. I just don't know if my fan base is big enough at this point to achieve those. And putting together a proper rollout, you know, getting on major blogs and getting on major websites and media outlets to really do it right. So right now I just want to drop singles, continue to grow the fan base. and every time I drop a single, I promote it like it's a fucking album. Like I got visuals. You know, we run contests, we have merch items and different things like that. And I treat every single like an album release. And it's just once things are built to that point, all of that energy will culminate into like a fucking hell of a debut album. Whenever it comes out, whatever it's called, whatever the vibe of it is, it's going to be a beautiful fucking day, because I know, and, you know, manifesting it, I know I'm going to hit the Billboard charts. I know we're going to chart high on iTunes. I know it's going to impact people's lives. I know there's going to be a tour to follow. I want to get it to that point to where those things are happening at the right time. And when they happen will be the right time. I just don't feel comfortable fan base size wise and things like that. It's not yet, but it will come.
And that's another thing too. Like my favorite artists have gotten away from doing albums and they just been doing singles.
Yeah.
Because for them, I think it's more rewarding to put their resources into just one song rather than an entire album.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, not that making an album is definitely not like a lost art. I think there's something so special about an album. You know, like a lot of people, at least for me, and I'm sure you can relate, like I listen back to certain albums and it time warps me back to that point in my life when I was listening to that album, and I feel those things and I have those reminiscing like memories and feeling of nostalgia. And nostalgia, I think, honestly, especially in music, nostalgia is the most powerful feeling that you can get across. A lot of people connect with that. And, you know, for me, it's like, when the album comes together, it'll come together. And I think there's a lot of artists that put out great albums, but I would hate to put everything into an album and put it out on deaf ears, you know, or put it out to a point where it's kind of like all of that. It was kind of before, I think things were ready to happen that way. So it'll be cool, man. I'm excited. Like I look at my walls in my studio room right now where I have like some newspaper articles framed and, you know, different things and tour flyers that I've done, like try to just celebrate the wins that I've had thus far. It's going to be an amazing day when I have that album plaque on the wall.
Oh yeah, man. Definitely got to shoot for that for sure.
Fuck yeah, man. Manifest it.
Right. Definitely. All right. Well, that's all I got for you, man. Go ahead and tell the listeners where they can follow you on social media.
Hell yeah. Yeah. My website is michaelwaves.com, MICHAELWAVV, two V's in there, waves.com, michaelwaves.com. You can find everything there. I'm on socials, Instagram at Michael Waves, Twitter at Michael Waves, TikTok at Michael Waves. I'm lucky enough to be blue check marked up on all those. So it's pretty easy to find me. I pop up at the top. So if you're listening, I appreciate you greatly. Shoot me a fucking follow if you relate to anything that I touched on or you think you might dig the music. I appreciate everybody's support. I appreciate you having me on, man. So it means a lot. So thank you.
Thank you for doing my podcast today, man. I really appreciate it.
Hell yeah, bro. We'll have to run it back.
Yes, definitely. For sure. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. And yeah, man, like I said, you know, it was a great conversation, and I look forward to having Michael Waves back on the show at some point. Be sure to check out his music and follow him on social media. And as you guys know, this podcast is available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and wherever you get your podcasts weekly. All right, guys, take care, and I'll talk to you all soon. Peace.